entire time I preach my sermon.
I'm going to do that at least, unless I keel over, which you never know, right? Daniel chapter number 1. Daniel chapter number 1. Brother Armacost helped me with the title of my sermon. He didn't even know it. It reminded me a couple of years ago I preached a sermon called One Bad Decision. I think I did, probably did. He's got a better memory than me. I'm the type of guy, I can read a book, I can forget it, and I can read it again the next year. I get lots of stuff out of it. So it's a blessing. So I was struggling with the title, so this one I'm just going to call One Good Decision. Let's just do like a series here. One Good Decision. It's better than what I had. So I want to read here, very familiar passage, familiar story, but I think there's some things in here that will help us. In Daniel chapter number 1, we'll begin right there in verse number 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz. Don't you like that name? I just got a good sound, Ashpenaz. Aren't you glad I didn't name you that, son, huh? Ashpenaz. So the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now, among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel. So among these, so there were many of these young people, many of them. But among them were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And unto the prince of the eunuchs, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, of Mishael, of Meshach, and of Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you'll bless in this time. Give me the strength that I need, clarity of thought. We pray that you'll use the truths in this passage, this message, Lord, to help each of us to make good decisions, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. One decision can affect your entire future. It's sad that we hear a lot of stories about teens and young people who wreck their lives. We hear them all the time, right? Youth pastors love to do that. They get up and tell all the stories about all the young people that wrecked their lives. You go to teen conferences, and you always hear about all the bad decisions that some teenagers made and how it wrecked their lives. And it's true. It really does ruin lives. I could sit up here, stand up here, and tell you about people who have destroyed their lives. Apparently, I preached a sermon about that a couple of years ago, someone who made one bad decision. And it is true. One decision can affect your entire life. But here's a story about a young man who became great because he made one good decision. He made a bunch of other good decisions, but it started with one good one, and it started when he was young. All right, and how would you like to be great? We all, you get the basketball, you all think you're great. As soon as that you get on the court, and you think, wow, man, I'm something. No, we're not probably very good, or else we wouldn't be here. We'd be in the NBA or something like that. We're not as good as we think we are things, but we think, I'd like to be great at this. And some people, they think they're great at music. And they'll sit down on the piano and it just flows. And then they go to a concert and there's someone who really is great, and they go, oh, okay, I guess that's not me, you know. And you hit, you know, the trumpet player, they hit the high C one time in their life, and it's like, man, I got it. And maybe not, because other people can do it in their sleep. Greatness is not based solely on destiny. A lot of times we think that. We say, well, they were just destined to be great. It also depends on decisions that we make in our lives. And I'm not sitting here or standing here trying to tell you that we all should be planning to be great in our lives, but it would be good that we are prepared so that God could use us in a great way. So it depends on the decisions that we make. For instance, one decision that we need to make is one that Jesus said about greatness. He explained that in order to be great, we must decide to be a servant. In Mark 10, verse 43 and 44, he said, "Whosoever will be great among you," if you want to be great, he said, "shall be your minister." That means a servant. I don't want to be a servant. Well, then I'm not going to be great. Then he says, "And whosoever will be the chiefest shall be servant of all." Well, Jesus was saying, if you want to be the big shot, you want to be, you know, as we say in Zambia, the buona, right? If you want to be the big one, you have got to be a servant of all people. Well, that goes against our grain a little bit, doesn't it? There are other requirements to be great that we see in Scripture, and today we're going to consider one about Daniel and learn how he became a great hero in the Bible. I mean, as kids, if you went to Sunday school, you heard stories about Daniel and the lion's den and all these great things. But he wasn't great by accident, and he wasn't great just simply because God chose him and didn't want to use anyone else. We're going to see that one decision was the beginning of a great life. And so I want to see how Daniel's decision led to greatness. So let's, first of all, if you're taking an outline, the first point is simply Daniel's decision. Find it there in verse number 8. "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself." That's what he did. He purposed in his heart. I want to consider his decision. So let's get a couple things. First of all, we want to see the time of his decision. The time of his decision. First of all, it was a teenage time. A lot of Bible scholars believe that he was between 15 and 17 years old. Verse number 4, it talks about these people that were carried away captive here. It says the very first word in verse number 4 is children. Also, in verse number 17, it says, "As for these four children, God gave them knowledge." Who were those four children? It was Daniel and the other three, right? We know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So God here in the Scriptures called them children. Now, sometimes that word children is translated as boy. Sometimes it's just simply translated as young man or young adult. And so regardless of exactly how old they were, again, scholars think that by the time after the 3 years of being proved, they were probably maybe around 18, 20 years old. Again, the point is that, think about it, Daniel was within a few years of most everyone sitting in here today. Put it in that context. Exactly how old he was, I don't know. Bible doesn't say. But he was probably within just a few years of everybody in here. So we can all, well, most of us, can identify with him. He was young when he made the most important decision of his life. And you must remember that your decisions now, at this age, can affect your entire life. They really do. The attitudes that you develop now and the things you do because of your attitudes can really either blow it or can really lead to you being blessed beyond measure, chosen for opportunities. You know, God is looking for some people that he can say, I want to use them in a special way. And some of you, you know in your heart, you're not very available. Not very usable. Because you haven't made some good decisions. But I like this. This is exciting. And we don't have to think that what we do in our teen years and when we're young don't matter. It does matter. And God can use you now. And he can use the decisions that you make now to prepare you for the future. Listen, how many in here want to marry just the biggest loser that's out there? Anybody? I mean, you want to marry the world's worst loser. There's nobody raising their hand. I don't understand why. Now, why wouldn't you want to marry the biggest loser around? Because that's not your goal in life. You'd like to marry someone who's good and loving and faithful and caring and helpful and all of that. But the decision some of you are making now, you're not going to get that kind of person. You're going to get the loser. You're going to get, girls, you're going to get the man who beats you, the man who cheats on you. Because of what you're chasing after now. Let's make some good decisions now so that we can be chosen by God to do something special. Sometimes we'll sit around and we'll get jealous of other people. And say, man, they get opportunities that I don't get. How come they chose them to do this? And how come they don't choose me? Well, maybe because you haven't made some good decisions. And maybe they have, and God has chosen them to do something. Don't get jealous of them and start looking for a chink in their armor. Okay? So we're seeing Daniel's decision, the time of his decision. It was a teenage time. Secondly, we also see it was a troublesome time. Life wasn't easy for Daniel. You say, well, it was easy for him. It wasn't easy for him. He was brought to a strange country. They spoke a different language. They were going to teach him that language for 3 years. Language school for 3 years. Must have been pretty difficult. And these were smart guys. Different gods, different foods. Man, you know, when I go to a foreign country, it's like, they say, you want to try the local stuff? No, where's the American stuff? Meat and potatoes. Yeah, that, bring it on, right? Cheeseburger, you can find a cheeseburger just about anywhere. All right, give me the cheeseburgers, right? Oh, yeah, it was a troublesome time for him. His life was turned completely upside down. And a lot of times, we start feeling sorry for ourselves because we're going through times of trouble. And we make a wrong decision. We do something stupid. We do something sinful. And we say, well, I was just going through a hard time. Don't let trouble sidetrack you from doing what's right. A lot of people make wrong decisions in times of trouble. People get in trouble and they lie to get out of it. Wrong decision. Wrong decision. People get, they start struggling in school. And they say, well, I'll just quit. Wrong decision. Wrong decision. People think, well, and I'll just, they get depressed. What do? They take a little bit of medicine, a little bit of drugs, a little bit of alcohol, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Some people get really depressed. What do? They take their life. Suicide. Those are wrong decisions. Those are wrong decisions that are made in times of trouble. And I'm telling you, if you're going through a big problem in times of trouble, don't make big decisions. And if you do, make sure you get someone to help you to make sure you're making the right decisions. Because trouble sometimes can lead to a lot of problems, and your whole world might be falling to pieces, but it doesn't give you an excuse, and it doesn't give you a right to do the wrong thing. Well, I'm failing, so I have to do something. Oh, you didn't have to do something. Yeah, you know what you had to do? Study. Turn your assignments in. Yeah, I got to do something. Yeah, do what's right. Make the right decisions. But if I tell the truth, I'm going to get in trouble. But if you lie, let me tell you, you're going to get in more trouble. So why don't you just tell the truth and ask God for mercy in the process? So we see his decision, and the time of his decision, it was a teenage time. Oh, your decisions are very important at this age. And it was a troublesome time, but he didn't use his trouble to make excuses for doing the wrong thing. He still did the right thing. But it was also, it was a tempting time. Daniel was offered the world, the things of the world. He could have drunk the king's wine. His parents weren't around. No one was around. It was a tempting time. He could have thought, well, you know, when in Rome, do as the Romans. They might not have had that expression back then quite yet, but he could have been thinking, well, no one's going to know, and really, I'll just try this. He could have had some tasty food. You know, pork was not okay for the Jews to eat. Anybody like bacon? Oh, yeah, I like bacon. I like sausage. I like bacon. Sorry, if you were a Jew back then, no bacon. What? Aren't you glad you're a Gentile? Aren't you glad you're living in the grace, the days of grace? Well, he could have said, man, bacon sure smells good. Oh, man, I could have some of that. The king's meat. You know, there's something tempting about things that are forbidden. It's true, isn't it? I mean, with Eve, hey, here's the one kind of fruit you can't eat. Oh, really? That looks good. Why is she so tempted? Because she couldn't have it. Oh, man, if I was Daniel, I'd be thinking, smells pretty good to me. Man, they look like they're having fun over there. His parents weren't around. Nobody was around. And obviously, remember I said that there were among those all that were taken, those four, that means there are a lot more people taken captive. And apparently, nobody else protesting. Seems to me like everybody else was partaking. And Daniel said, nope. Isn't that easy to do? Everyone else is doing it. I probably used this illustration before, but I remember when I was going out with some friends. It was a long time ago. And they were going Christmas shoplifting. And I wasn't going out Christmas shoplifting. I was just going to go out and be with my friends. But I knew they were probably going to do some Christmas shopping lifting. And as a joke, you know, I had a dry sense of humor. My mom says, where are you guys going? We're going Christmas shoplifting. Ha ha. Well, anyway, get out there. And sure enough, I had no need. I had absolutely no need, but everyone else was doing it. And they were stealing stuff and getting this. I was like, well, I can get something too, just to do it. Duh. Until the police came and when we left the store and brought us back in, and we were escorted in the police car to the police station, and Dad was called to come and pick me up. Was not a nice time. Oh, there's tempting times. And we say, well, everyone else is doing it. Why don't I do it? Because if you do it, you're a jerk. If you do it, you're not very spiritual. If you do it, you made a bad decision. If you do it, you're not going to be very great. You'll be common. You'll be common. But Daniel, he simply decided that he was not going to defile himself. You know, a lot of the Christian life is deciding before temptation happens, before it's placed in front of you, deciding what you're going to do about it. Really. I will not look at pornography. I just won't. I will not listen to rock music. I will not listen to contemporary Christian music, rock music. By the way, I do listen to CCM almost every day of my life. Christian, conservative Christian music. Okay, you got it. Just want to say if you stay awake. Make those decisions ahead of time. Daniel purposed. He purposed. Make that decision. I will not get in a physical relationship before I get married. You know where that starts? I will not hold hands. you know, I'm not sorry, but I see these people with their engagement pictures, and they love to throw it all over the place, and you see the guy holding the girl's hand and putting the ring on the hand. When I got engaged, I held the ring out in a box. Not the box. It was a special heart, gold-colored jewelry thing, and said, "Will you be Mrs. Olson?" Oh, so romantic, right? No. Anyway, so